chapter 2. We're going to begin going through the words of Christ Sunday morning. Luke chapter 2 and verses 41 through 50, the first words that we have spoken by our Savior. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they had found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to dwell on earth and walk among us and tell us all about the kingdom, about salvation, and to shed that precious blood and to rise again that all who believe in you might be saved. Lord, as we looked at your first words here on earth that are recorded in the scripture, Lord, you weren't understood then. Help us to understand you now. In Jesus' name, amen. This simple statement, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We often read over this just as part of the account, as simply a statement that he made to Mary and Joseph. But the truth of it really is, if you stop and think about these words, these first words that we have recorded in the scripture from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told of the conversation that he had with the priests and with the Pharisees and the teachers there. We're just told that they were amazed. We're told that he had solid doctrinal answers for them. We're told that he knew the scriptures. We're told that he spoke well, but we're not told what he said. Now, other religions, other beliefs, other writings claim to have words of Christ as a child. In fact, some of the Catholics believe that they have words that he spoke to the shepherds as a baby in the manger. And that's not so. What is in the Bible is what we need to know. We don't need to know about the conversations he had with other children. We don't need to know about how he conversed with his parents in their home and with Joseph in the workplace. We don't need to know those things. The first words that we have recorded of our Lord Jesus Christ are actually the sum of his very purpose in being here. Have you ever noticed that? Mary and Joseph are looking for him. And he says, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? It is an introduction to all the words of Christ. It is, in a form, a summary of his purpose. Think about it, if you will, with me. Who did he say this to? Mary was told by Gabriel, You will have a son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who would come to do his father's business. Mary knew what he should be doing. Joseph, he was of a mind to put Mary away privately. And the angel came to him and said, This child that Mary is carrying is the Savior of the world, and you will call him Jesus. Joseph knew who this child was. They had raised him for 12 years They had been in Jerusalem every year at Passover. There is no doubt, although we don't have recorded his childhood, there's no doubt his love for the things of God, his love for his father's house, would have been evident from very early on. So they knew his purpose. They knew who he was. You know, of all the world at that time, they alone and the shepherds and the wise men knew the Messiah was come. And he goes missing for a short time, and they spend 4 days looking for him. They spent a day away, heading away from Jerusalem. And you may say it was 5 days. Some people argue about it, because a day away, and some people say there was a day back and then 3 days in Jerusalem. Whether the 3 days were in Jerusalem or whether it was a day back and then two in Jerusalem, it doesn't really matter. 4 or 5 days looking for Christ. They notice he's missing. And in verse 44 it says, they sought him among their kinsfolk. Okay, so here they are, they're in a crowd of people. They've been up with all the other Jews to Jerusalem for the Passover. Family groups were, I mean, it was a time of celebration. It was a time of getting together. It was a lot like, you know, Thanksgiving for us. We travel across the country to spend Thanksgiving with family. only the Passover feast was obviously a lot more important than that. But on their way back to their different places, they traveled in their family groups, and would, you know, different people would get off at different places as they reached their homes. So they looked first among their kinsfolk, but he wasn't there. Okay, well, go look among our friends. He wasn't there. Oh, acquaintances, maybe it's somebody you just met on this particular trip. Maybe Jesus is over there with them, but he's not there. Wait a minute, he's nowhere in this crowd. So they head back to Jerusalem. Where do they look in Jerusalem? Well, on the way, they probably looked everywhere. They looked in the bushes. Maybe the robbers got him. They looked on the side roads. Maybe he wandered off. They looked wherever along the way, the highways and the byways, the roads, the alleys, and they get to Jerusalem, and, well, let's go to the markets. That's the, you know, the center of the town. That's where things are happening. There's all kinds of stuff for little boys to get interested in. Let's go to the market. So they look through the market. He's not in the market. Well, maybe they talk to the soldiers. That would have been their equivalent of the police today. You know, you're missing your kid, and you've searched everywhere. Who do you call? Well, you contact the police department. Hey, I got to file a missing persons report. Maybe they talk to the soldiers. Have you seen this child? He's about so high, he looks like this. Maybe there were some shelters in town for missing children, for wanderers and so forth. Maybe they checked the shelters. There was inns, we know that. Maybe they looked through the inns. Maybe somebody put him up. There's this child roaming the streets, his parents are gone. Maybe somebody put him up. They looked everywhere. They spent 3 days looking for him, okay? In other words, they looked everywhere but the temple. 3 days is plenty of time. I mean, you could, if you took, say, the city of Longview without a vehicle, you could pretty well look through the city of Longview in 3 days just on foot, right? That would give you the time to go through a city. They took 3 days. So Mary and Joseph looked everywhere except the temple. Which is a little bit of a head-scratcher all by itself, because the very reason they went up to the Jerusalem every year was to go to the temple for the feast. That was their primary purpose. But here, they looked everywhere but the house of God. They were entrusted with the very Son of God, and they looked everywhere but the house of God. And when they found him, Jesus asked them a very simple question. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This statement summarizes God's eternal compassion and the purpose of His coming. You look through all the Bible, and God again and again and again says to Israel, says to creation, says to mankind, says to the New Testament believers, says to the New Testament lost, turn ye to me. He says to the believers, how are you seeking me? What way are you seeking me? He said, well, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean what way you're seeking me, because he says, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not? He's asking about their understanding. Well, exactly. He's asking about their understanding. So it's not just, why did you seek me? It doesn't say why. It includes the why, but also, why did you seek me that way? It's kind of, when you say, how is it that you sought me, wished you not, immediately talking about their understanding, it's a twofold why. So why did you seek me? Why didn't you come right to the place that would be obvious that I would be? But also, why did you seek me that way? And that's what I want to look at this morning. Jesus asked, why did you seek me the way you did? You see, this is a theme throughout his ministry. We'll just touch on a few. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes and says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. And Jesus tells him that a man must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Nicodemus, he's a learned Jew. He's a teacher. He is a rabbi. He is an upstanding, respected, sought-after member of the religious community in Israel. And he says, how can these things be? Jesus replies to him that, how can you not know when you are a master of the law and the prophets? He had things figured out. He had things down. Jesus called him a master of the Jewish teachings. In other words, Jesus is saying to him, how is it that you're seeking me? How is it that you're looking for me through all of these teachings and you don't understand them? In Mark chapter 5 and verse 7, the Pharisees came and said, why do your disciples walk not after the tradition of the fathers and eat with unwashed hands? And Jesus' response to them is again a why. Why are you so worried about my disciples walking after a tradition? How is it that you know the scriptures and you are seeking me through the traditions of men? You see, the same question. It's worded a little bit different, but it's the same question that he asked Mary and Joseph. In Matthew, excuse me, chapter 19, verse 16, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus again points to how he has been seeking the Lord. He says, all these things I've done from my youth up. I've been looking for you. I've been looking for eternal life. I've been looking for the Messiah. And Jesus says, how have you been looking for me? How? Do you not understand the Father's business? John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well says, what mountain shall we worship in? The Jews, they go down to the temple. We worship in the mountains. What's right? Jesus said, worship me in spirit and in truth. There's coming a day where you won't worship me in Jerusalem or in the mountain. How are you seeking me? Oh, I'm looking for you in the mountains. Jesus says, you need to be looking for me in your heart. Luke chapter 9. The three disciples are with Christ on the mountaintop, and Elijah and Moses appear. And Peter says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles." And Jesus says, "Why?" He said, "How are you seeking me, Peter? Are you worshiping just religious images? Are you worshiping religious leaders? Or are you looking for the Messiah?" John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. You say, that question wasn't asked then. The disciples who had seen Jesus do so many things. When he says, when they come and they say, "These people are hungry, send them away." And he says, "What do we have here?" And he says, "Well, we don't have very much money. And the most we can come up with is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Philip and Andrew, when they bring this to Christ, not much money and only a little bit of food, they say, "What are these among so many?" And Jesus, that particular time, I like how he doesn't even answer their question. He just says, "Make them all sit down." He just calmly gives them directions. He says, "The answer is coming. You'll see the answer." He doesn't answer their question. He just says, "Make the folks sit down." They should have known better. Now, we've looked at it before. I don't know if you remember, but Andrew showed a lot more faith than Philip. But he was still missing the picture. He says, "What are these among so many?" They had seen his miracles. But they were still looking at right now. Right now. What... How we can achieve taking care of these people. Well, Jesus gave us a job to do. What can I do to take care of these people? Well, not much. I've only got 300 pennies. I came up with a few loaves and fishes. I'll use them, Lord, but they're not going to go very far. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll go ahead and read that. It's a few verses, verses 4 through 8. Paul, looking back over his life, says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." And he begins to give his credentials. "Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul learned something. You see, Mary and Joseph, they came and they said, "Jesus, we were worried about you. What were you doing? We needed to know where you were." And Jesus says, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know the direction that you will find me in?" And it says that they went away not understanding. They took him home, but they did not understand. This was Mary who spoke with an angel. This was Joseph who was spoken to by an angel. And they didn't understand. So, how can that be? Man, if an angel talked to me, I would remember that for the rest of my life. You probably would. But would you understand? You see, oftentimes, we're just like everybody else. Or we learn the Bible. We walk a certain way. We do things. we read through the Bible. We try to learn all this stuff. But we're not doers of the word. We're hearers only. And we're like Nicodemus. Maybe we've mastered the scriptures, but we've not understood them. Oftentimes we're like that rich young ruler, going from one good thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the point where even our consideration, when we come to times of doubt, and we say, well, maybe I'm not really saved, and we start going through our little checklist in our heart. Well, there's this time, and 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 I did good that time, and I did good this time, and I did... Wait a minute. When we're checking our salvation, we need to check what the Lord did for us, not the good things we did. The rich young ruler said, what good thing must I... I've kept the law, I've respected my parents, I've done all these things. Give me another good thing to do. Maybe we're making tabernacles. Oh, how many Christians today have tabernacles set up in their lives for some preacher, for some teacher, for some... Well, this particular person, I get a lot out of how they explain the Bible, and pretty soon that person's word is right up there along with the Bible. Are we not making another tabernacle for them, basically? Maybe we're like Philip and Andrew. Well, God gave me a job to do, so I'm just pouring everything I can into this job. And Jesus says, hey, I want to provide for that. But Jesus, I'm doing everything I can. Jesus says, I just get things in order. I want to provide for this. But Jesus, I've only got this much. I can't do it all. I'm trying to get your attention. Don't you know my Father's business and that I am about my Father's business and I will supply for my Father's business? But Jesus, I've only got 300 pennies. Paul said, if anybody had confidence in the flesh, I had more. If you had confidence in your flesh, I had validation for my confidence. I had everything going for me. But he came to a place where he understood that how he was seeking was not how you find. Let me say that again. Paul came to a place where he understood how he was seeking and how all these accounts that we've looked at, how he was seeking is not how you find. Mary and Joseph, they looked on the road. They looked among their friends, among the people they're comfortable with. And they looked in their peer groups. They looked in the markets, they looked in the activity, the business of life. They looked through every aspect of life that you can think of. That's the picture here. They spent 3 days scouring Jerusalem. It's the equivalent, the picture of looking through every aspect of life that you can imagine. But you will not find understanding of the Savior by the way we process life. You understand that? Paul came to the understanding that it was not, that how he was seeking is not how you find. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we know this verse. It says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You could say that was Philip and Andrew. Look, Lord, look at what we brought you. You could say that was the young ruler. Look at all I've done. Jesus says, all our righteousness as filthy rags. Do we understand that? In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, every one unto his own way." Oh, you could say that was the woman at the well. "Well, I want to worship in the mountain." Oh, sure, the prophets, they said, you should go to the you should go to the tabernacle, you should go to the temple. But here, I'm at Jacob's well. This is important. And we worship in the mountains. We get close to God in nature. We're going to worship God our way. "All we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way." Nicodemus was the same. "Oh, I know the law inside and out. I know I've mastered the Old Testament." The Pharisees were the same. "Don't you know that you need to follow the traditions of men?" Paul was the same. He had all these things. He had the validation of any confidence that you could have for a place before God by works. And God says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, every one unto his own way." We need to. It's not just "all we like sheep have gone astray," but it's everyone to his own way. Right? We've got a couple sheep. And our new fence, they don't get out yet. But they love to get out. And they know where home is. And you let them be, and they'll come back home eventually, maybe, sometimes. But they wander. And they'll go the dumbest places. They just had a lamb just over a week ago. Yesterday, I was driving by their pen, and that lamb is already through the fence. Just 6-inch square wire, and it figured out that she fits through the fence. So I'm driving, and she scurries back to get back through that fence. Why was it on the outside? Mama and Daddy are on the inside. Well, I want to check this out. I want to explore over here. I want to go my way. See, all we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his own way. God, I want to worship you in the mountains. I can worship you at home. I can do things this way. You see, we live in a society that has taken the gospel and taken biblical principles, and we've whitewashed so much of it. And say, God surely can't be that judgmental in this area, because God's not being judgmental. He never changed. We did. All right? That's what we need to understand. We went our own way just like he said we would. Just like Mary and Joseph, they didn't go back to the temple. They knew that was the whole purpose for their trip in the first place, but they didn't go look there. Romans chapter 6, Paul asked the Romans, or he reiterated the Romans' question, "What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." How many Christians today are living this way? How many lost people have this idea that, well, we'll all roads lead to heaven? God is a loving God, so I can do what I want and he'll still forgive me. Christians, well, as long as I'm in church, as long as I do certain things, and as long as I pray about them, then, God's grace, he's going to forgive me. Or you get some people that will teach you a second holiness, or a second blessing, second blessing, which is called the holiness movement, where the Holy Spirit comes on you a second time, and after that, you don't sin anymore. And if you do sin, it's not actually sin, because you have the second blessing. Sin is still sin. Sin is still sin. We still have to confess our sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says, what then shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, a great big stop sign. Hold it. Halt. Park it right there. God forbid. Just because there's grace doesn't mean we should abuse it. Oh no, I'm just trying to use the grace. No, you're abusing it. Matthew 7:22. Jesus said, many there will be in that day that say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things I have done in Thy name. And He will say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. How many times would that be the case? Again, you could say that's the rich young ruler. All these things I've done from my youth up. Look at all my credentials. And Jesus says, how is it that you sought me? Really? Explain to me. How is it that you were seeking me? It looks like you were seeking you. Looks like you were chalking up points on your own scoreboard. It looks like you were busy keeping your own market running. Jesus didn't ask why they looked for him per se. It was part of the question. But when he said, how is it? It's a encompassing question. And it covers why. Why did you look for me at all? How is that? Why did you look for me that way? Why didn't you come to me my way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Proverbs 8 and verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. You know, if Mary and Joseph went straight back to the temple, they would have found them right away, wouldn't they? They weren't thinking of Proverbs. They that seek me early shall find me. They didn't think that applied. How often do we think, well, the Bible doesn't really apply in this particular circumstance. They that seek me early shall find me. Jesus said, I love them that love me. God said that. What does that mean? Does that mean He doesn't love you if you don't love Him? Well, He loves you anyway. But He has a special relationship with you. You know, parents will understand this. It's like you love all your kids, right? But when that child does something, and we usually call it pride, but when that child does something and you, it's just, wow. Man, they did good. They did what they were supposed to do. They respond. Or maybe it's not even that. Maybe you just had a really good visit with your kid. Maybe you're driving down the road and conversation opened up and you just had a really good time with them. And you're thinking, wow, I love my son. I love my daughter. You love them all the time, but there's those instances, you know what I'm talking about, where you're just full of that. It just washes over you. Man, I love them. That's what God's talking about. I love them that love me. He loves you anyway, but when you love Him, God's washed over with your love. That's hard for us to comprehend because he's an infathomable God. How can He have more emotion, more of one type of emotion at one moment than He does at another moment? I don't know. But that's what He says. If you return love to Him, He's like, wow, I love that child. I love that person. Because they love me. And I know that they love me because they sought me early. And so I am found of them. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. What if Mary and Joseph gave up? What if 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 days later, they finally quit scouring Jerusalem and said, somebody must have kidnapped him. Maybe he fell by the road. Maybe he's dead. Woe is us. We'll go home. How often do we do something like that in our Christian life? We're running around like, what can I do? What do I need to do for God? What's God want me to do? All this stuff. But we're not seeking the Lord. And then after a while we give up. I just can't find God. So I'll just do what I know how to do. And I'll plug through the rest of my life. And see Him when I get to heaven. Jesus said, why are you seeking me that way? As I said in the prophets, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6 and verse 37, one more verse here. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's Jesus' work, isn't it? He came to this earth. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He came for you. He came for me. And He promised, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Do we understand this? Do we wish it? Do we know it? Do we know what the work of the Lord is? Jesus didn't just come to save sinners, okay? He did, don't get me wrong. But He didn't just come to save you from hell. He came to sanctify you. He came to conform you to the image of Himself. He came to lead you to follow after His footsteps. He came to be your guide into eternal life. So lost or saved, whether you're listening to this today or whether someone listens to this on a recording later, Jesus is asking all through His ministry and all through today and until this earth passes away. Jesus is asking all of His creation, how is it that ye sought me? Why are you looking for me the way that you are looking for me? Understand the Father's business. He came to draw all men to Himself. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And those who come to repentance be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not our own version of Christianity. Not our favorite preacher's version, not some group's version, but what we find in the Scriptures. He was sitting there with all those religious leaders, asking and answering questions. It was really the build-up to this simple question. All of those fancy questions, all of those doctrinal important things were still summarized in something so simple. How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not? Don't you understand? I must be about my Father's business, and that is where you will find me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is clear, that there is a light on the path, and that you will guide our feet if we are looking to you. Lord, help us as we look through the words of Christ these coming weeks. To seek you the way you want to be sought, on the path that you have laid out, that we might walk the narrow path, pass through the narrow gate, and be conformed to the image of your Son, to whom be all power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Derek.